Amen. James chapter 1. Amen. I love the way the Lord impresses and God begins to work on us. Amen. Yesterday morning, man, I felt the Lord compel and God begin to minister to me. And I just could not get rid of what the Lord has spoke to me all last night, today. Amen. Throughout the day, I just, you know what the word of the Lord has spoken, and I want to deliver what God has given me. Amen. I don't want to be a sermonizer. I want to be a message giver. Amen. I want to deliver messages from the Lord. Amen. And that's the difference. There's some people build sermons, and some people listen for the voice of God. Amen. If you have a choice, ministers, hear me. Amen. I'd rather deliver a message, amen, than ever preach a sermon. Praise God. When there's a message, the messenger, amen, is speaking, and he has more than an audience. He has somebody in mind that he wants to touch. And tonight, remember, he has somebody in mind, amen, that he wants to touch. James, the first chapter, verse 2 through 4. My brethren, count it all joy when you fall in divers or diverse temptations. That word temptations could be tempests, like storms, problems, trials, you name it. Count it all joy when you fall in multiple trials, temptations. And temptations could also mean where you're tempted. Something is appealing to you, but I want you to understand, count it all joy when you're tried. Knowing this, that the trying of your faith worketh patience. The trying of your faith worketh patience. Something is developed when you're tried. Verse 4. But let patience have her perfect work. And this is what the Lord kept on repeating to me. Let patience have her perfect work, that ye may be perfect and entire or complete, wanting nothing. Amen. I want God to give me everything that I don't even need anything else. I want to be sufficiently supplied by allowing patience to have its work in my life. Give God that opportunity. Amen. I want to talk to you tonight about order, chaos, and masterpiece. Order, chaos, and masterpiece. Amen. You may be seated in Jesus' name. Amen. The scripture said, let patience have her perfect work. Let patience have her perfect work. When we understand the word perfect, I want you to understand with me, whenever something is working and perfecting something, sometimes like a knife that needs to be sharpening. That knife has to, in order to be sharpened, it has to go against something harder than it. Iron sharpeneth iron. And when you take a blade or a knife and you begin to work it, pretty soon not only you sharpen it, but you begin to shape it. Let patience have its perfect work. It's trying to work something inside of you. I want you to understand today, when we yield to the things of God, the work of God, and we let God just take us through what he wants us to go through, and we realize that God is still the master of all things, and we trust our great shepherd, even though we go through the greatest battle, the greatest valley, and the greatest storm. As long as you trust your master, God will see to it that you get through it with him. He's not going to put you something without him being involved in it. And whether you're numb tonight in your spiritual feelers, or become numb that you can't feel what you want to feel in the Spirit of God, sometimes you will go through valleys where you will not feel the Spirit of God or the energy and the fullness of all the thrill. Amen. Let me just say this. I've heard my old pastor say this. Sometimes you got to run the aisle when you don't feel like running. Sometimes you got to dance when you don't feel like dancing. And sometimes you better fight when you don't feel like fighting. When it's for God, not for you. Many times we do things for us. We do things to seek for a blessing instead of for to bless him. Tonight, I don't want to just do it for me. I wanted to bless God. And you know as well as myself, you can't outgive God. You can't outbless God. Amen. When you come with a made-up mind that, Lord, this is for you tonight. Amen. Lord, my life is for you. When you leave here tonight, saying, God, my trials, my tests, the things that I'm facing through this week, amen, Lord Jesus, you know all about it. I'm going to live for you, not necessarily just for me. Amen. Who are you living for is who you're giving your attention to and giving your focus to. Hear me tonight. God is wanting somebody to learn to allow God to have his work in your life. Let patience have its perfect work. And when we say to yield, sometimes that is learning to say no, what you need to say no to, what you need to learn to say yes to, and how to withhold, how to restrain, or how to apply. There's sometimes you got to put the brake on. Sometimes you got to put the clutch in. And sometimes you got to give it the gas. Amen. And sometimes God wants you to make a right turn. Sometimes God wants you to just stop and do nothing. But hear me tonight in the house of God. Amen. God wants us to learn to allow patience to have her work. Let God have its work in your life. Boldness has its time in our life. There's a time, amen, that you need to be bold. Like salt, amen, boldness has its place and its job. Too much salt, amen, makes something real, real bland. Not bland, but something too bad to taste and put in your mouth. There's a time even to stir something up. Even when you're cooking, there's a time to stir and there's a time not to stir. Amen. My mama always told me when you're cooking rice, don't stir that rice. You let it cook because if you stir it, you're going to mess it up and make it mushy. Amen. There's a time not to stir. There's a time to stir. There's a time to wait. There's a time to apply. There's a time to, amen, give. And there's a time, amen, to take from. Amen. Only God, amen, can unfold the rose. Sometimes we just got to let God do what he is doing in our life. Amen. Can you imagine walking into a concert hall and the orchestra is sitting silently and one violin begins to warm up and it starts making its noise. A trumpet begins to let out a loud blast. Percussion strikes. Amen. Percussionists strike the cymbals. A French horn begins to play the scale. And if you judge the warm-up of the orchestra of that moment, you could conclude it's nothing but a bunch of noise. But hang on, the conductor steps to the platform, and one lift of the baton, and suddenly 100 musicians become one voice. Amen. Hear me. The cymbals no longer play what they wish. The flute no longer competes with the trumpet. The cello doesn't complain because it only has four notes in the opening movement. Every instrument has a place. Every note has a purpose. And every entrance has a time. The masterpiece is not merely, amen, just created merely because the musician is talented. It's created because every musician submits to the conductor. I want to just tell us today, I want to let God be God. I want to let God have his way. I want to learn to yield and give God, amen, the right away to do what he wants to do in my life. Amen. Don't you dare hinder God. Don't you dare interfere with the plan of God. Amen. Oh, friend, God loves it when somebody allows him to have his perfect way. Amen. You think about the transition. One moment they're warming up. The orchestra is warming up and there's a bunch of noise. But when the conductor starts conducting, how beautiful, amen, there is a transition and how wonderful God does the same kind of work. He's not merely writing individual stories here tonight, but he's composing a grand masterpiece that we call, amen, the testimony of his church and his people. The problem is we often want to play before our measure or continue playing after our measure is ended. Sometimes we mistake movement for progress. Sometimes we mistake silence for inactivity. Yet heaven never confuses timing. God has a time. I want to remind somebody in this place tonight, God sees what you're going through, and he knew it before he even put you down the charter of that route. But hear me, he's still the conductor, and he's still in control. When things appear to be out of control, just trust God. He's still the Savior tonight. Somebody said, do it, Lord. Hallelujah. God's greatest works are accomplished through people who trust him, who trust his wisdom enough to yield to his timing. Amen. God is a God of order. Think with me. Amen. Genesis began with chaos. The Bible says in the beginning, the earth was it was without form and it was void. It was empty. Amen. There was nothing there. It had no form. And then it was darkness. Then God begins separating light from darkness, sea from land, day from night. Amen. Each thing begins to receive its boundaries. The seas had a boundary. The sky has a boundary. And not only that, but they received its assignment. Amen. The moon has an assignment. The sun has an assignment. The stars have assignment. Seasons have their assignment. They have their purpose. And nothing overlaps. God as a God of order and completion and perfection. Nothing competes, but everything submits to God's law and his order. Amen. Paul later says God is not the author of confusion. Creation itself preaches, amen, the message of order tonight. I want to just tell you tonight, amen, God is still a God of order. Amen. Hey, friend, God has an order for your life. And never, never, never forget that God is still the conductor of lives today. Amen. I want you to think with me. You could throw steel beams, glass, wire, concrete, plumbing, and paint, and lumber into an empty lot. And you could walk away, and it don't make a hospital. Amen. It's nothing but a pile of stuff. But you take somebody, puts the pieces together, and amazing when things are assembled to a proper order. Amen. It becomes a product of the building and the orchestrating of all the different things coming together. Order proves that there's intelligence. Design proves that there's a designer. And the universe is not organized because it just happened. Amen. It didn't just bang together and boom, it became. I do believe in the Big Bang theory. God said, let it be, and bang, it happened. Amen. There's an orchestrator. There's a creator. There's the authorizer. It happened because somebody organized it and spoke it into existence. But let me just talk to you. Sin brings about disorder. Sin has always brought in a chaotic manner of disorder to situations. It'll disorder a home and bring chaos, a domino effect to many different people. Even sin will begin to destroy somebody more than their reputation. Even, oh, sin will embarrass you. And it just don't embarrass you, but it embarrasses those around you. Amen. Oh, friend, sin has, amen, a reaching effect that it continues and continues. I want you to think about Lucifer, the first creature to play outside of his measure. If he was in an orchestra and he was looking at the paper before him, his measure that he was supposed to play, Lucifer got out of his line, out of his lane. He wanted another seat, didn't he? He wanted another crown. He wanted another throne. And sin is often more than a good thing in the wrong place. Amen. Salt belongs on food, not in your coffee. Medicine heals in the proper dose, and too much becomes poison. Even boldness has a season, and silence has a season. And Lucifer got out of his purpose, position, and place. And thus sin, rebellion, brought so much disaster to our world. But I want you to understand God is a God of rank and a God of order. And in God's rank, God don't look at the greatest and the one with all the talent. God doesn't look at what the best in all this. Amen. Oh, the biggest and the best. But I want to tell you, God looks at those that keeps a childlike spirit, an humble heart, a yielded life. Even those that would come to him, he said, forbid them not. Even the little children. And he talks about childlike faith. If you're going to enter the kingdom of God, you're going to have to maintain one thing, a childlike faith, but a growing faith in Jesus Christ. Amen. The book of Joel, the second chapter, verse 8, Joel begins to talk about, he says, their sense of order. You don't thrust one another. You don't go out of your boundaries. And he talks about kings and orders and different things. And everybody walks in their path. When they fall on the sword, he talks about they're not going to be wounded one day. But he talks about these things, about those that learn to maintain their order in God. God will be with them. Amen. Have you ever thought about locusts? Millions of locusts will travel in swarms in different places. And they have the Bible says these locusts have no kings. But they move in synchronization. And they move together. But yet they never collide. They keep rank. Nature obeys order better than many believers. Amen. And I read a devotion from Spurgeon one time. And he talks about application. He said, affection cannot replace honesty. You could be affectionate. You could be a kind person. But if you're not honest, amen, what good is all that kindness and sweetness if you're not going to be honest? God is looking for somebody to be honest before him. Somebody to open their heart. You can sweet talk and you could take your eyelashes and bat them and try to say, oh, I'm so sorry. And you can impress somebody else. But if you're not open-hearted to God, you're not going to fool God. God is working today on those that will let him be God and learn to yield and be honest before him. Spurgeon said, patience cannot, amen, destroy. He says, it cannot replace conviction. Just because you're patient and you have patience and you're sitting around and say, but there's a conviction and you don't take care of that in your life. You don't keep that in your life. God convicts you. God wants you to do something about it. When God knocks on your door, turns the light on, and shows you and something in your life, I don't care how patient a person you are. Amen. You need to take care of it and be obedient. Amen. And I want to tell you, public ministry cannot outconsume private devotion. Amen. There's some people that love the pulpit. They love the microphone. And they like to get in front of people, but they have no private devotion to God. Every virtue has its place. God is a God of order. Each has its responsibility. Each has its season. God never intended one obedience to destroy another obedience. He wants you to comply to him and learn to yield to him. Hear me. A choir sounds beautiful until every singer decides they want to sing their own thing. Harmony is many voices yielding in one direction. Amen. The scripture said, let patience have her perfect work. James simply doesn't say have patience, but he said, let patience work. The idea here is yield, allow, and don't interrupt what God is producing. Don't get upset at God when things don't go your way. I'd rather him to go his way because his way is going to be a better way. Sometimes we pray, Lord, get me out, when God is saying, stay under my hand just a little longer. I got something I want to work in you. Patience is not passive. It is surrendered trust to God. And Romans, the 5th chapter, talks about how the progression of every stage, he said, talked about we're justified by faith. We have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. And he says, by whom also we have access by faith in this grace. And he talks about adding. Now tribulation worketh patience, but we don't keep it there. Patience, you work it, it brings experience, experience hope, and hope make it not ashamed, because the love of God is shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Ghost. Hear me, look at the crescendo that God gives. God starts out with tribulation and troubles and things in your life that will begin to shape in you. But God has a product for your life. God has a place that he wants to take you. There's patience, there's experience, there's hope, but every stage begins to take you to a deeper relationship, a higher place with God. I want to tell somebody in the Holy Ghost, God is interested in talking to your heart to let you know that you may feel like it's chaotic right now, but hold on, the Master has a plan for your life. Hang on and stay with the things of God. Stay in the book, stay in prayer, and stay with the God of heaven. Amen. Sister Crosswhite, I was asking her about a cello the other day, or how you pronounce that? A cello. I didn't know how to spell it. Amen. I know what it is, but and she gave me a big word that I've heard. I didn't even know what it was. I mean, I'll show you my vocabulary. Maestro? Maestro? How you pronounce that? I didn't even know what that was. I said, what does that mean? She said, you know, the conductor. Oh, I know what a conductor is. And you know, one violinist only sees their page, but the conductor knows all the different parts, where this person is going to come in. He knows who's coming in next, who's going to be quiet, what crescendos, who rests. Sometimes the greatest act of faith is for us just to rest. For us to learn to sometimes just to say, I got to keep my mouth shut right now. I got to learn to yield, because my measure, my time is not arriving. Sometimes God wants silence in the orchestra. And silence is not absence, but it's obedience sometimes. God doesn't want you to be that first one. Amen. On your feet sometimes. God wants you to be sometimes at that place where you listen. Amen. You can't hear too good with your mouth open. And my old teacher used to say this: God gave you two ears and one mouth for a purpose. He wants you to hear twice as much as what you say. Amen. But a lot of times, amen, we have to learn to yield. The Master is working on us. And I thought, and today when I was reading and I was studying this, in one of the devotions that I have, it talked about Handel's Messiah, an orchestra, and it talked about their musicians in that piece that had to count more than 100 measures before they play a single note. You imagine if a trumpet player thought, I waited long enough, and he blasts his note 40 measures early, he would mess up. He's not improved the music, he's ruined it. And many frustrations in life come before we play, before God raises his baton. Many people bail out in the heat of things before giving God the opportunity. Why do we go through things? Sometimes God wants to shape us. God wants to sharpen us. God wants us to be something. Many times we have to come against giants because the giant has four more brothers to take care of. Could it be that David said, I've taken care of your brother by obeying God and gave the battle to God? These four other giants are nothing to me as well. Amen. I want to tell somebody in the Holy Ghost tonight, amen, let's keep our eyes on Jesus Christ in this. Amen. I don't feel like worship. I don't feel like living for God. I don't feel like doing the things of God. Amen. Friend, it's not about feelings. It's about believing God and trusting God. When you do it for him, my God will keep good records. Man, one of the things that baffles my mind is when somebody gets smarter than God. And they begin to tell me, well, I don't see it that way. And God spells it out very plainly. Or I don't feel like that's necessary when God says it's necessary. Hear me, friend. Amen. What matters to God ought to matter to you every time. Amen. I love Proverbs, the 25th chapter, verse 2. It says, it's the glory of God to conceal a thing. You know, sometimes the heavens declare the glory of God and the firmament and all these things. But it says it's the glory of God to conceal or hide something. Many times God hides treasures, not to frustrate us, but to delight us. Don't you love surprises? Don't you love it when God says, I got something for you around the bend. And when you come around the bend, there it is for you. Amen. God's great delight is to bless his children. Amen. But I look at the different things that God has that proves, amen, identity. And it begins to prove the uniqueness of creation. Amen. The Bible says the glory of God is to conceal some things. And I think about this. Amen. Oh, there are people that are discovering things. Amen. When a man did not even have a telescope, they thought there was only a certain amount of stars out there. And when Galileo invented the telescope, he realized there are more than what we considered. Hey, friend, we ought to go with the word of God. God knows every stars, the innumerable host that is out there. Amen. Hey, friend. Amen. It's no surprise to God. Amen. There's things for us to discover in his plan. But, oh, friend, I'm thankful for the uniqueness of God. Amen. When God made you and I, do you know that your DNA, they tell me that scientists have used all these different things today that we call artificial intelligence to begin to understand that, let me say, how differently. I've got three brothers born from the same parents, and my mom and my dad. How different are my brothers than me? Even the closest of kin are completely different and uniquely different. Do you know that there are 3 billion differences that they could count using artificial intelligence? 3 billion differences in our DNA that make us unique from anybody else. So you know what that tells me? If that is a fact, if there's 3 billion differences, that makes 3 billion unique identification tools inside of me that makes me uniquely who I am. There's nobody like you. Isn't it amazing there's only one Nine of Grace? But Nine of Grace, why is it that sometimes we want to compare ourselves to somebody else? And we start thinking, oh, they, you know, God, but look at them, God. Look, Lord, look at this one right here. They seem to got it, they have it all together. But God said, but they're not you and you're not them. You're uniquely mine. And even though that you're different, amen, you got more identity that you are you and you're a mine. Amen. Than anything, I want to tell the church today, God has an identification system. We are his people, the sheep of his pasture, and he's our God. There's something unique about you, and there's something unique about God. But we got to remember that. Remember your creator in the days of your youth. Don't forget your God. Snowflake. Man, every snowflake they say is completely different. Thumbprints, completely different. But yet there's a discovery that you find out that God says, you think you got that figured out? There's more that you haven't seen. There's things that man has not even discovered. Isn't it amazing when man makes a new discovery? It's like, wow. God said, that's nothing new to me. It's nothing new to me. Creation is God's invitation, not just to admire him, but just to trust that he's been God through it all. Amen. Through the whole time that before us, from creation to now. You know, the conductor, Sister Crosswhite, mentioned this to me the other day, always faces the orchestra. With his back to the audience, the orchestra's not playing or applause. They're watching the conductor. Neither should the church live for the applause of men, but our eyes belongs on the conductor. If we keep watching him, he will bring every note, every pause, every trial, every season into one magnificent masterpiece. Tonight, God's not asking you to become louder. He's not asking you, amen, to become bolder. He's just asking you to learn to yield and to trust in him. Not to be more gifted than what you are. You can only be who you are. But to submit yourself. Not to be more visible, but to be more faithful in trusting him. Because the greatest masterpieces are not produced by the most talented musicians. They're produced by those who never take their eyes off the conductor. There's one statement I've repeated through this message. Every note has its place. Every season has its purpose. And every believer has their unique measure of time, identity, and ability. That's where we learn to trust our God. Chaos is going to happen. There's going to be things that come against you. There's going to be chaos. There's going to be chaos that's going to come against you and rattle your life, rattle your cage. But we heard Brother Alvear speak of it the other day when he preached to us. He said the gates of hell are going to rattle. But aren't you thankful that God opens the windows of heaven? Are you thankful that you've got a God of order in the midst of chaos? Hang on, Nina. Amen, Nina, stay on track because God, amen, has a place and a timing for your life. Amen, God's not done with you just because, amen, chaos and trouble and situations are happening. You don't know what to do with all the loose ends. Amen, hang on, friend. Give it to Jesus. He's the author, and not only the author, but he's the finisher of your faith. I'm talking to somebody tonight. I've got a message from heaven for somebody. Amen. Hold on to God. Amen. Hold on to him. Get a bulldog grip on his word. Amen. Hold on to your faith and believe God today and know that he is in control. When things feel out of control and things feel to be spinning round and round, know that chaos is nothing to God. He's a master of every situation. Amen. If there in this world is so uncertain, things are happening constantly. One moment it seems like we were assured that we got a peace agreement with Iran, and the next moment Iran's going behind our back. Everybody's saying peace, but our world is full of pieces where we can't trust each other. But I want to tell you, I could trust my God. He's never failed me nor forsaken me. My God is faithful tonight, and he's in this room to minister. He's here to pick up somebody's hand, somebody's heart, and reestablish something in somebody. He's here to reassure somebody's faith. Amen. And I thank God for his grace and mercy. You hear me talk about hope being an anchor. Amen. I mention it over and over again, but I got to tell somebody tonight. Amen. Nobody takes an anchor and throws it out of the ship and say, oh, it's going to work, without attaching it to a rope or chain. You just don't attach one end of the anchor without attaching the other end to the ship. What good is throwing the rope out like two of those cousins I heard about? Amen. They were there. They were in swift waters. And one of them said, throw the anchor out. He threw the anchor out. It was the other boy's boat. And when he threw the anchor out, when they got to the end, and noticed the boat was still going. And he said, is that anchor working? He said, well, you told me to throw it out. I did. And the other guy said, I forgot to tie it to the side of the boat. You mean, I want to tell you, I don't want to ever, ever just have an anchor that I throw out that I'm not attached to. I want to be tied to Jesus Christ. I want to be tied to this boat called the church. How about you? Amen. This thing's going to get me out of here. Amen. The grass may wither, hear me. The flower may fade, but the word of God's going to stand and last forever. Amen. I want something to keep me in a time of chaos. Amen. I want something to keep me in a time of plenty. I want something to bless my soul. Amen. Eternity is too long for us to play with it. Hear me tonight. Amen. I come to give the message to somebody in this room tonight that God wants you to know that your chaos, your problem, amen, don't bail out on God. Don't give up on God. Don't look at it as an opportunity tonight to escape. Hear me. Backsliding should not be in your definition. It should not be in your vocabulary. Hear me, son of God. If there's ever a time to stay in the boat, you need to stay in the boat now. You can't afford, amen, to ease out on God and say, maybe I'll be back later. No, friend, hear me. In fact, we're doing a study right now, several of us pastors. We're doing a study on how many backsliders that we've known that could come to our mind that have returned to God. How many is left out through our life that we could remember? And how many has come back? Do you know that so far it's less than 5%? Most of them never come back to God. I'm so thankful for the church. Amen. I don't want to trade this treasure for something else. If you've gone out before and you come back to God, amen, get a hold of God and thank God that you belong in that small percentage. Amen. I want to tell the church again. Amen. Oh, I'm thankful for the truth. I'm thankful for the way of God. I'm thankful for the mercies of God. Amen. God is not here to muscle us into something, but God is here to make us into something that we could be His people, the sheep of His pasture. Amen. Come on. Amen. He has a masterpiece for your life. He wants to say, well done, my good and my faithful servant. Stand with me, son of God, in this place tonight. Amen. God wants to reward us in the faith. Hallelujah. Praise God. Now, I'm going to be flat honest. God don't stir a pastor for no reasons at all. Man, I got three kids, and all three kids have gone. I'm troubled by them, but I'm troubled because, amen, there are people that don't realize what they got in God. They can be blessed people, and they don't realize the beauty of God's table. Tonight, the Master has spoken so, so plain to us. He's come tonight with encouragement to let you know that your chaos is nothing to Him. He's working in spite of chaos. He's working in spite of what you don't see and what you see. You got to learn to yield and let patience have its perfect work. Let God do His work on your life. Don't slam the door on God. Don't walk out on God. He didn't stop and say from that cross, oh, it's not worth it. They're going to fail me. They're going to turn their back on me. They're not going to live for me. But I think that Jesus, in spite of knowing those who crucified Him and those who He hung there for, He said, Master, it's not my will, but Thy will be done. I want you to pray that same prayer, Lord. Your will be done in my life. Would you let God's will be done in your life? God will do a better work with you than you could ever do by yourself. Hallelujah. The Master's pool. And there's people. I want to tell you where this church is at. I feel this in the Holy Ghost, and I mentioned it to ministers this last week at a camp meeting. I feel in the Holy Ghost, there's young people in our church, young couples that God is shaping, God's working on. Right now, you're at the finest part of your life of preparation. God is working on your skills and abilities. God is also working on your relationship. If you learn to live for God while you're a young man, young lady, and you just make it part of your life, later on, you'll have it in order. And it becomes a day-by-day walk. God's going to make something out of your life. And I mentioned this to the pastors the other day. I feel that God is doing something in our young people. God is raising you up to become something. There's going to be those from this congregation that God would use in the ministry, that what God would use in great manners. Right now, you're in your learning era, your time. We're learning to yield to the Lord and give God your best, because the Master has only His best for your life in return. Amen. I want you to come say yes to the Lord tonight. Amen. I want to get you to say yes to God. I want my young people to, amen, as your pastor, I want you to make it. I want you to be able to say, I made it. And when they put that lid on my casket, I want you to be able to look inside of the face of a pastor that cared about your soul, that didn't want to just give a sermon, but want to deliver a message of hope for your life. Come on, why can't you just say yes to God and obey Him? Why can't you just give over to God and let Him have His will? Hallelujah. Come on, let's talk to the Lord. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Come on, God will take your chaos to a masterpiece, a finished work. Hallelujah. Sing it since cross my
place me on the potter's wheel.